Queens, and he was, you know, a Russian Jew, and he loved working in the yeshiva. He related to the guys very well. His English wasn't great, and he said that once when he was five, six years old, the Rebbe, he must have done something, and the Rebbe sent a note home that he did something, and his father came to him that night, and he walked over to him, and he whacked him across the face.
In Russia?
In Russia, yeah. So he said, but Tati, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. So he whacked him again. He says, I had a havamina that you did it? It's bad enough that they said you did it. Like, the father didn't have a havamina that he did what the Rebbe said he did. But the fact that the Rebbe could think that you would do such a thing is wrong. And now you come and you say, tell me you didn't do it? Like, it's bad enough they thought it, that you actually think that you're doing something that someone could even think you're doing it, you tell me you didn't do it, smack them again. That's how stark.
What was the second smack?
Stark?
The second smack is that, you have to tell me that you didn't do it as if I was just smacking you because the havamina that the Rebbe thought you could do it. Now you tell me you didn't do it, smack. You have a havamina that means you think there's a havamina that you did it. So second smack. So he told me this mice. So that's how stark parenting was 100 years ago. Not in America either. Okay, very stark. 100 years ago would be 1920. Sounds about right. 1920 in Russia, sounds about right. 100 years ago in KGB Russia. Okay, then he told me he was 12 years old and something happened and the Rebbe gave him a note that something happened in school that they have to talk about. And he was crying. He was so scared. He gave his father the note, and he was in his room crying. And the next day, father woke him up, and they walked with him to the cheder, or whatever it was. And he spoke to the Rebbe, and about 30 minutes into the class, the father walks over to the son, walks up to his desk, and whack, smacks him across the face.
Wow. So
comes home that day, he's crying in his room. His mother can't calm him, can't relax him, and he's crying. And finally, he couldn't get out of bed. He was so upset, and the mother pushed him to go talk to his father. So he went to talk to his father. He says, Tati, I understand why you hit me, because the Rebbe said I did such a thing, but why did you have to hit me in front of all my friends? I was so embarrassed. Why couldn't you speak to me privately and tell me and hit me if you have to? So the father looked at him and said, to do it privately? I did that already once. It didn't work. When you were 6 years old, I did it in private. And it didn't work. So the parenting in the old days was... I'm not saying there's a mile. I'm just saying that's the way it was. Okay. I suspect... But please, it's private, so if you want to talk about it, let's do it in private. But I suspect not one of you's parents ever hit them on purpose. No one hit them. I got hit all the time. My father hit me. Yeah, I'm pretty sure my mother hit me also, but my father was the one who hit me. I remember getting hit with a belt. You'd think that's like primitive. But I'm sure you speak to other Abayim, and there was a time, and my father was born in America. My mother was born in America. They're American. And okay, my father's father was Polish, you know, so but there was a time, I don't even know, there was not any Kol Kore, there was no Hamodia or Yated, I didn't read the Chinuch Roundtable, and the Reshiva didn't give any shmuzim on it. And there was a time in the generation where it was considered that lo zva derech anymore, not to hit. I don't know how it became so clear, so sure, but we don't know anymore. Chinuch also changed.
Was it because of the time?
Probably emotionally, the Rashivas say with tissue paper, and where the generations got weaker and weaker and weaker. Rav Pam said, Rav Yaakov said, that nowadays you can't use Yira anymore, you have to only use Ava.
Does anybody see the change?
You only have to use Ava.
Everything
changes because of it. Everything. So I always want to bring everyone who... there's more seltzer in there, I think. If it's not in the freezer, just take the non-seltzer ones. Is there seltzer over here? Right here, behind the door? Everything changed. I remember when I was in seventh grade, I was the Manal was giving a faher to my class, seventh grade, in the dining room during breakfast, because he had to save time. There were 500 kids in the school, 700 kids in the school, and he used to give faheres during breakfast when it was your turn. And it was a table like this, we were all sitting around. Manal was here. I was sitting, probably where Morty is. I was sitting like over there, and the Manal asked a question to the guy sitting next to me, where Akiva is, and this is my friend David, and David says, it was a busy dining room, and David says, I couldn't hear the question, could Rebbe repeat the question? So the Manal gets up, he walks over to him. I remember him saying this, in Lakewood Yeshiva there are 1,000 Bachrim, at the time it was 1,000, there are 1,000 Bachrim learning in one base medrash, then it was one base medrash. In one base medrash, if you didn't, and they all hear each other. So here in this room, if you didn't hear, the only reason why you didn't hear is because you didn't want to hear. And then he took his hand and he banged it into his head.
Are you still from?
He was still from. That was not considered abuse.
Okay, but the guy the next day,
it was not considered abuse. That was considered regular.
What about the guy that he hit the next day?
Regular. I do not recommend it. You shouldn't do it. Nowadays you get thrown in jail. Nowadays if a Rebbe did that, he would get thrown in jail unless the Chassidim should place. They won't call. But Chassidim still hit. Yes. Not all of them, but they still hit.
Is there any time where we would agree that a kid something so severe?
I'm not smart enough.
Is hitting only for Europe? Could it also be to show how strong they feel about it?
Yeah, it could be. It could be, you know. That was the Derech HaChinuch. It was accepted. Every one of my friends' parents hit them.
Yeah, but you were saying that we don't do Chinuch with Yira anymore. But could you smack to show how strongly you feel? If you see your father get so mad at that you did a certain thing, like that's the impact you.
Even getting mad is not recommended. The kids can't even handle if you get angry. I know Mr. Shum talks about it, but you have to care enough.
All the love and all the hugs in the world, it's not going to change it. Like sometimes, like you need.
It has to be. No, you could be strict. I'm saying there's room for that. I'm just saying we're not talking about strict or not strict. We're talking about the stark hitting. The hitting. I'm talking about hitting. The hitting. That a total metamorphosis, and it wasn't just hitting; it was the whole representation, the whole perspective of how chinuch was administered. So anyway,
you can
hit your 2-year old when he goes into the street. Yeah, 3-year old.
Is it the dinner of the kid or the?
But one second. I want to stick to the broad strokes here, to make sure we get out. Of this, the broad strokes. So based on this, it's understandable that in the if this how things were in the 20s in Russia, and in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and 70s, in the 80s, somewhere around the 90s, things changed. Schools did not necessarily, the hitting, they stopped. And when we had an accreditation visit, I think it was like 2016, was or 2017, our most recent. So they called me in. I was the head of school. So they called me in, we need to speak to an emergency. And they came to the office, and all the heads of the accreditation committee, mm-hmm. seven, eight of them, were there. And they, Rabbi, something urgent came up, we need to speak to you. And they walk in the locker room on our, in our campus, and they saw a paddle. A paddle. And no, that's a ping pong racket, a paddle ball racket. And they didn't see any paddle ball court. So they're wondering what the paddle's for. And they asked me, do we paddle the kids? Do we do corporal punishment? Now, it happens to be, if you look up Florida law, corporal punishment is legal.
What?
You allow, yes.
Yes, Mr. Sprague just said,
oh. You're allowed to do.
Yeah, is that a joke, Mr. Sprague just said that.
Corporal punishment in Florida is legal. However, they will not accredit any school that uses it.
It's not part of the government?
What?
How does that work?
Accreditation does not allow, to, this particular accreditation does not do it. So they actually, there are schools that use corporal punishment. So just have to, all the schools, maybe they took the hitting out, but there were so many things that schools, the way they were doing it, where they took out the hitting, but there were so many other parts to it. The way in which they communicated with the kids, with the parents. So, just to bring everyone up to snuff on the first half of this VOD, which happened before the summer. So, I was the Manal, and I experienced a lot of there was a lot of vandalism that was going on in the school. There were four incidents of major chutzpah, I guess we'd call it, of total breakdown of, you know, respect to teachers, to rebbeim, to me. That was clear. And I wrote this impassioned letter to Rabbi Foreman, who someone told me is the top consultant, the person who could most likely help us. He was a man who had been a principal for 40 years, and he was now retired as a consultant, and he's the person that was recommended to me, and I wrote this impassioned letter. I didn't even have an email then. If you want to know how far back it goes, I only had faxes, so I was faxing to him, and all these particular things happened on one day, and he wrote this really rough, if you remember, his response to me was, like, this is a very sad description of a school who supposedly is a Musa yeshiva, and the clearly the boys feel anger towards, and you know, we started, you know, trying to correct the way we're thinking. I think one of the last things I said at that VOD was, so we really took it to heart when he told us that we're not connecting with the kids. We have to, and just, you should know that our dress code, you know, the systems that we had for administering or enforcing some of the rules. I think back now, I mean, I inherited it. Rabbi Gumblat was doing it, you know, so I just inherited it. But I guess maybe Rabbi Gumblat did it. He was such a, you know, gadol, and he did it, no one could get angry at him, but maybe they did. I don't know. He told me, I asked him recently, he says if he would keep doing it, they would have gotten rid of him too. They couldn't have handled it. But it just didn't come about yet. The school was small, and, you know, but it was really something which, you know, changed. Like, I'll just give you an example. Like, at the we had a code of conduct. I mean, if any of your high schools did this, when I first learned this lumdus, I called everyone. I called every one of the branches. I was calling, I was on the phone with them, telling them, we're doing it all wrong. And I was like, and they were, a lot of them were older than me, but I was, you know, just just telling them all the Torah, no charge. We were paying the money, but I was telling them. So I got into like great kind of conversations with them. I convinced many of them to change the way they were doing it. But just for example, there were knossos. They were doing knossos, and there was a code of conduct. We had a code of conduct. A code of conduct.
Never got the vote. Yeah.
We had a thing. Like during davening, for us, this is not even the good stuff. During davening, sleeping during davening was two. You got 2 points. If you get 20 points, if you get 20 points against you, you get suspended for a day. If you do a 1 hour detention, you get 10 points off. If you daven for the Amud, you can get 2 points off. We had all these. We thought we were so brilliant that we got ways. That was our connecting. We connected because we gave them ways to take off points. And if you're talking, it's 1 point. And if you're sleeping, it's 1 point. And if you don't have a hat, it's 1 point. And a jacket is 1 point. If you have our shoes, is 1 point. And a guy and before I for it, of course. There were so many things. And then we had a code of conduct. It was like a 6-page booklet of all the possible things you could do wrong in school. If you vandalize the school, you know, 1 day suspension. If you disrespectful to a teacher, assignment. If you, 1-page assignment. If you have, when I came to my first year in the school, at the end of the davening, Rabbi Grumblatt used to call up, used to read a list. The following student should please come forward after davening. And there was like a list of 10 or 11 kids. Anyone who was doing anything inappropriate, they had to write assignments. I'm just telling you, this was 1994, 1995. It was still the throwback from the old days that they had to write assignments. And there was a guy, I was teaching 8th grade my first year, and there was one guy in my shir, Psachia, so he was a character, and he didn't really have a head to learn. You know, he was, and what he used to do, he spent the whole class writing assignments and selling them to people who needed to have assignments written. And he would write them on, you know, he'd write them in circles, and he would, because you had 200 word assignment, 300 word assignment, and then I think back to this craziness that we did, assaulting another student, 2 days suspension, assaulting a teacher.
Did anyone ever try to do all of them?
And then he taught me the numbers. Rabbi Fortman told me the numbers. When you tell a kid that if you do this, this would happen, you're not telling them if you'll do this. It's when you will do it. You're telling them, telling them what the negative actions are, you're telling them to do it. There's part of what you're communicating them is this is what we're expecting you to do.
So that means
if you get up in front of a classroom and you say, okay, I'm the first day of school, I'm the teacher. Let's keep it Rebbeim out of it. Okay, I'm the social studies teacher. Okay, I'll be teaching you social studies here. If you call out, I will call your parents. If you that day, if you cheat on a test, you will get a 0 and you'll have to repeat the class. Everything he says, when you're hearing it, you're thinking, I'm going to do that. You get so angry at him. I'm going to call out.
So we can't. Parents shouldn't tell their kids that if you do this, I'm going
to
punish you.
I'll talk about the teacher. We'll talk about parents different time. Parenting is a whole different parasha. Okay? No, this is different. We're talking about a school environment right now. Parents are more complicated. Okay? But I'm just telling you, in school. So we took the whole thing and we ripped it up. Rabbi Fortman told us, don't get rid of your point system. I remember we had 20 kids on a Sunday doing detention, and one parent called me over who came to pick up his kid after the hour. He came a few minutes early, and we had one, I don't want to say who, because he's now a Rebbe by us, and he was a base manager guy that year, and we used to pay the base manager guy to supervise the detention room. And you got to bathe there. If you left the room, then you wouldn't get your detention. So I don't want to say which Rebbe. And he was in the room. And the base manager guy didn't care. He came with their headphones and, you know, sweatpants. He was just there relaxing, taking attendance. He didn't care. And a parent calls me over and he says, Rabbi, it was 3 o'clock on a Sunday. Can I ask you to come with me for a second? It was not in this building. It was on 71st Street. And he said, there's company. So I walk with him. He says, look inside there. 20 kids in that room. Says, you mean to tell me my son over there is being rehabilitated? The kid was climbing the walls. I said, yeah, you have a little point there. You know, everybody was doing it. Every single school, Queens, Miami, everyone, everywhere, they were all doing it. And it just, you think about that, and I was when I became principal, so I wasn't my job to worry about it. I was assistant principal. I came in as assistant principal, and my Grimlad was, everyone loved Ray Grimlad, so the animosity didn't come out. But some of these things were scratching my head, like calling kids up after davening, and it was like assignments. It seemed a little primitive, but the negativity didn't come out. When we had all these disrespect and vandalism, Rabbi Foreman taught me that when you see vandalism in a school, for sure with older kids, so teenagers do not know how to express frustration. It's very important to know that. A kid does, usually, not only teenagers, pre-teenagers also, and even little kids, they don't know how to express frustration. Frustration comes out in lots of different ways. So frustration can come out, and anxiety can come out in beating up his brothers and sisters, in not eating, throwing food. In a school, when you see vandalism, often it's their way of expressing their frustration, their rage, their anger. And when you see a lot of vandalism, you walk around the school, you know, Rabbi Foreman said when he would go visit schools to consult with them, the first thing he would do was go into the bathrooms. And if he sees like a lot of broken stuff in there, and broken faucets and a broken mirror or graffiti, something like that, it sometimes can be crazy kids, but usually not crazy kids. And when you see that, it's usually a sign that there is repressed rage, anger. And when you see all these types of disrespect and chutzpah, that's also what you have to ask yourself. If a kid's expressing anger and frustration, chutzpah, it's usually out of, they don't know how to express themselves properly.
Thinks that it's because kids are angry, or just because they just don't care and they just break stuff because they just don't.
I mean, just to say, when you say it, I'll say it in a controversial way so you could get the point. That it's almost like the. I don't believe there's really. This is not my Torah, but I'll say it as mine. Because I don't have a name to blame it on, but I don't believe there's real chutzpah. Bizman is real chutzpah. When you hear it, I don't think there's no chutzpah.
Yes.
If a kid is disrespected, he's going to disrespect. If you disrespect me, I will disrespect you. Now they should know better. That come on, the Rebbe made a mistake. He didn't mean it, or he maybe did mean it. But if you disrespect me, I will disrespect you.
And the first weeks.
They were.
Yeah.
Chutzpah. Okay, but then
it wasn't a reaction to it.
I don't know. I'm not convinced. But I'm not convinced. But camp's another good story. But usually, so vandalism. A lot of these chutzpahdika things is because they felt that they were not listened to, they were not heard.
They just don't have das. Sometimes they just don't have any sensitivity to their bam or kavod.
Right, but usually people, kamayim panim al panim, if a person is respected. Yeah, I don't.
You see kid feeders, they're always a grumpy, not respectful kids. It's like, you see that all the time.
Yeah, a kid could get angry one day and say something he shouldn't say, but you have to think about if a kid's reacting that way, that he's feeling that, this is something that we did. But anyway, so Rabbi Foreman wrote me this big letter back that a Musa yeshiva, you're not respecting the guys, you're not, you know, connecting with them. And I was mentioning to you, so one of the last things we spoke about last time is that myself and Rabbi Levine, Rabbi Dudovitz, we were the three administrators. We got together and we took one or two kids from every grade, and we had a meeting what they would like to see and how to instill Ed Ruach into the school. If I said this, it's worth repeating. And I was so excited about. We went around the room. You know, you guys represent. We took the really good kids from every grade. Not the perfect kids, but kids who were represented their class. Two from every grade. We had eight kids in the room. I'm gonna start connecting with kids, and we started going around the room what they feel the yeshiva should do to add ruach. And every single kid, this kid said we should get rid of night seder. This kid said we should have school on Sunday. This kid said why do we have to have workshops or enrichment classes on Friday? Why can't we get out? Why do we have to have Shabbatons and yeshiva while we get on trips? We went on every single one of them. They want to get rid of this class. Why do we get out at 6:30? Why do we have to have a marv? Was that a disaster? Oh my gosh, that was a disaster. Anyway, next time I was speaking to my foreman a couple of days later, and I needed a compliment. I was feeling really low. And I said, my foreman, you should just know, you should be very proud of us. After your meeting, after you came here 2 weeks ago, we had a meeting with the guys to add ruach. We went around the room to say how, you know, what they would do to add ruach. I was trying to get a compliment out of him. So he said, oh, very nice. And after we spend a lot of time together, you'll learn how to have, you know, meetings that are successful. So I said, did one of the kids call you? He says, no. So I said, how did you know that it was a disaster meeting? So he said, this is a klal. He said, you always have, when you turn on your radio, when you turn on your speech to speak, you always have to speak on a frequency called WIFM. WIFM is what's in it for me. WIFM. What's in it for me? When you're speaking to a kid, he says, what shaykhis does a high school kid care about your school ruach? They don't care about school ruach. They want to go home. that's their ruach. They just get me out of here.
Can't find kids in school care?
You might be able to, but the whole slant and the whole spin of the meeting was, I want to add school ruach. I want to have a school with good ruach. So I was making a meeting about me because I cared about it. I was the principal. I want to have a school ruach. That's not what they care about. So you have to think about how they're going to interpret what you're saying. And every single speech, every single word that you say, I changed everything. That was like 2000. Everything I did changed after that. Everything. My first day speech, as a Rebbe, anything. It just changed everything. So what I really should bring for you next time, I have to find out where I recently saw it and I saved it. Oh, this would be a great vod. So after we did that, we wanted to change around the whole avira of the school. So he started looking at our literature. So I want to show you the parent handbook that we had before, you know, Kodem Hamaisa and Achra Hamaisa. Like, you know, BCE, you know, BC and AC. BCE, before Yashka and after Yashka. Before and after. It's remarkable. I'll just give you one example. When I get it, I'll try and read it to you. I'll give you just one example. We went through the entire handbook, which I haven't read in a while. I'm not principal, but the I don't know. It's a 20-page handbook, a 25-page handbook. We went every single page. There were thousands of changes. I just want to give one, so you know what I'm talking about. Okay, it said like this. I'll give you two examples. One of them said, communication with the school, old way. Secretaries are busy making copies and dealing with report cards and tending to student issues. If you have a question, do not bother our secretaries. students should not be asking secretaries to get them their lunch or to call their parents. If you have a question, please send it in days in advance so that our secretary can deal with it in a timely fashion. I'm exaggerating to make my point. The new way said, our secretaries look for every possible way to service our students.
So is that a difference
and
in
parents?
Policy?
Students and parents.
Is that switching the message?
Every
or
I'm going to answer your question. Over the next minute or so. The mentality is that every single staff member, every single one, from the custodian to the Rosh Hashiva, okay, custodian, assuming it's the lowest but it could be lower than that. But whatever the lowest you think, Sonny is really chashuv. But you know, from the custodian to the yeshiva, everyone, you have to treat every student, parent, guest in the school as a concierge of an upscale Manhattan hotel.
Oh.
You think about how the concierge sits there. Concierge, what does a concierge do? Concierge is just whatever you want. Just ask, we will take care of it. What do you need? Do you have a sore throat? I'll go get you Sucrets. I'll get you some cough drops. What else do you need? You forgot an iron? No problem. I'll be bugged. I know someone has an iron. They'll do anything they want for you. I told Yehuda Teigman that he wants to be a concierge for upscale. He could do anything. So I told him, concierge is for every state stamp member, you have to be as a concierge in an upscale Manhattan hotel. That's how every single staff member has to treat the kid. And if every single person, every single staff member would act as a concierge in an upscale Manhattan hotel, you won't have the kids in camp on the first minute acting the way Simcha was saying. I do not believe. Don't even try and argue with me.
Helping the kid with his luggage.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. There's somewhere on that bus. Somewhere on that bus coming up to camp, somebody told the kid, maybe it's his parents, to get lost. I don't want to go to camp. Something happened with that kid.
What happened?
No, he said from the first second, which I believe, I'm sure somebody got it right. But there's a kid came off the bus and was already disrespectful and vandalizing. So, okay, maybe he's crazy. But I more likely suspect that camp doesn't start when they got off the bus. The kids started when the parent told him he has to go to camp, and they don't care because their parents want to go on vacation and you have to go to camp. So it could be he's angry before he got to camp because he wasn't treated well. So that could be part of it also. But once you have that mentality, so that's how you're speaking to the kid. That's how nowadays, that's how a kid's expecting to be treated. A kid wants to be respected. I'm trying to think about that. I don't want to say it out of... I just want to say a reality. It's not any gaiva whatsoever. But, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. But I don't think I've had a kid, anyone be chutzpahdik to me in 15 years.
Is it possible
Rabbi became Rashiva?
Huh?
So right around when Rabbi became Rashiva.
Nah, Rashiva. Rashiva get less respect. Because Rashiva, everything's your fault. But now you could say it's not my, it's Rashiva. But now you could, everything's Rashiva's fault.
Maybe the
beam is too small.
Rabbi's not dirty. It's chutzpah. That's what Rabbi said.
Because it's not coming from chutzpah. That's the point. Yes. Thank you.
Rabbi's that
part of the. He got it. Moshe got it. Because it's not chutzpah. It's not, right. It's not coming from chutzpah. It's coming from something. It's coming from something else. Something else. We have to determine what. I'm just saying that the answer to your question was the concierge line. I forgot your question, but that was the answer.
Is it possible?
Okay. Once we have that mentality, so we went through the whole handbook. Okay, that was when I told you about the concierge. Oh yeah, another one.
I want to say
a second example. I did one with the secretary. Next one. It said, Yeshiva Taras Chaim, students who don't come in dress code may not stay in school. This is a school with rules, and if you don't follow the rules, you can't stay here. Number one. Number two, we have zero tolerance for talking during class, and misbehavior will not be tolerated.
What?
This is classic stuff, and you go through all your... you know, popular places that are not forward-thinking, and you will see these things still in there. I know they're still in there, and will not be tolerated. Students who miss classes will be penalized, and what do you call it? Cutting classes will not be tolerated. Chutzpah will not be tolerated. All these things that happen all the time are not tolerated, but it keeps happening. So we changed it. We changed it. That was before. And the after said, It's so brilliant. It's just the packaging of it. A YTC student is successful when? Colon? Check. Comes timely to class. Is attentive during class. What else did I say?
Doesn't skip class.
Is in dress code, parentheses, hat, jacket, shoes for davening. It was all written positive.
Did we change the punishments as well as the handbook, or just the handbook? That's just some questions I'm
asking. First of all, we had a little pushback from some rebellion who had a hard time with this, getting on board with this. They asked this question. So they asked the question, okay, so we totally got rid of the whole point system and detentions. Yeah, just got rid of it overnight. We just ditched it. And people asked me, so now the kids who are coming late and are talking during davening, are nothing happening to them? And then we did a data analysis, and we came out that the same amount of kids who were coming late then, if anything, it's less now, and the same amount of kids who were talking then are now, and the same kids who put their heads down then, you know, it's less now. It was less. If anything, it was less. It's just that we did the same thing, but the kids, they were doing detentions every week. That means they were doing the infractions every week. So the infractions didn't help a key who's there. All the knosses didn't help. I remember we didn't have knosses. When I came, I was always against knosses, so I never let that happen. But the knosses. But one time I decided that everyone was driving crazy that in the old building on 71st Street, so the dormitory was upstairs, and the kids who were not in the dorm used to go hide out there, and I wasn't supervising there, so it was mamash a pachad where they could there unsupervised all day. So one day I said, I have no choice. So I got up and I said, you know, we have to make an exception, but if your first time you're caught in the dorm is a $5 knas. Second time you're caught in the dorm, a $10 knas. And the third time you're caught, it's going to be a $20 knas. That's what I said. So one guy walks over to me right after the speech. He says, Rebbe, thank you so much. It was a great speech. I really think it's going to be a great deterrent. He reaches into his pocket, takes out his wallet, takes out two 20s. He said he was in 11th grade then. He says, there's no way between now and the end of the school you're going to catch me more than six times. And just keep the change. That's mamish. He took $40. Okay, he still lives here, and I joke with him about that story. And he has a kid now that's going to be applying to the school next year. And I told him, by the way, tell the kid he can go up to the dorm two times. He still has some money coming to you. But that's how that kid took it like, oh yeah, he's going to go to the dorm. Where I can't do it, you're best off telling them, you know, that it's not safe. You go to the dorm, you know, if something happened, then you could be implicated. This is not a place for you to go. And that's the best way to get them to not do it. You know, that's the best way.
Are kids going to do it anyway, no matter how?
Most kids want to do the right thing.
Most kids are going to talk during davening.
You know, most kids are going to do the right thing. And
kids are still talking. Maybe a kid will try with disproving the rules. Like, you say I'm going to be good at this, so let me break the rule, and I'm still going to come out good.
There are some kids who do that, but you know, if you respect them for doing the right thing, so they really do want to, they want to garner and extract the good feelings that the teacher has or the Rebbe has towards them. So they have no bedafka reason to go to them. If they have a reason they want to go, you know, break the rule, yeah, the kid will go to the dorm. He wants to see someone there and whatever. And yeah, and if there's a real serious danger, let's say there was a danger, though. Let's say there was a terrorist chas v'shalom in the dorm, so he would not go to the dorm, but you would impress upon him that it's really not safe for him to go to the dorm. So you have to, you know, you have to impress upon him what's wrong.
So there's no way to actually.
I just give you a little mushroom. Okay, there were two toddlers on living on the opposite sides of the street. They were both inside their gate. Both, one of them was crying, one of them was laughing. One of them, the mothers told the toddler that I locked the gate so that nobody could come in to hurt you. And one of the mothers told the toddler, I locked the gate so you can't get out and hurt yourself. Run to the street and hurt yourself. Which, and one toddler was crying, one toddler was laughing. Which mother told the kid that the gate was locked so that they can't get out? And which mother told the kid that the gate was locked so no one can get in?
Well, that says he's going to get hurt.
One second. Huh? Which one do you think? Which toddler was laughing? Which toddler was crying? The toddler whose parent told them, I locked the gates so you can't get out and hurt yourself, that's the kid that was crying. And the one who told the child that I locked the gate so no one get in and hurt you is the one that was happy. And that's what I was trying to explain to you before. That if you could explain to the kid why he can't do the rule, why he shouldn't go to the dorm, in a way where, you know, it's because you know, whatever, we want to have, I can't think of it now, but it has to be, and if it's a stupid rule, then don't make stupid rules. You know, if there's a reason, you have to explain to them in a way that they could understand it. And that's everything. Sometimes it takes to us. It wasn't natural. I thought I would have good instinct, but instinct is very much tempered by what everyone's doing. So you grew up, however you grew up in education, but that's what you're going to do. With the high school you did it. When I was in school, they did it one way, and everyone just does it the same way, and didn't work. We had to change around the entire school, and you know, Baruch Hashem, we're in a much better place. And now we have, you know, also hired Rebbeim, who were able and teachers. Oh, I wouldn't hire. You could tell on an interview where the teacher's holding. Oh yeah, how was it in last school? What type of kids they have? Question: what type of kids they have? Oh yeah, a bunch of crazy kids over there. You know, a bunch of anyway. You hear a teacher talking like that way, you know that he's probably not going to respect the kids. You have to have teachers who buy into it. Not everyone teaches. There are teachers who are. If you hear them talking about how nowadays where kids are, you stay away. Nowadays, kids. This generation. Yeah, kids.
Little rascals.
Yeah, it's very hard. And if you don't have the right team, if you don't have the right team, they'll always be complaining that their principals don't know what they're doing. And I would be a great teacher, but I get no support from the principals.
He doesn't get that now.
You know, I'm not the principal now, so.
I'm not the principal. Still have class today.
So.
Teacher told him that he's going to come out of class. Every time he comes out of class, takes a point that was average.
Right.
Our school
today.
Yeah, I have no doubt that teachers don't know what they're doing. How would they know? How would they know? Huh? Yeah, it's very hard to learn how to manage a class. It's not easy to manage a class. You know, it has to be very positive, and also a person has to learn how to teach. So if you learn how to deliver the lesson, you'll have very little management issues. You know, the management issues when the kids are bored, you're sitting up giving your pilpashir, and the kids are not interested. Then you have to manage your class because this kid's talking, that kid's talking. Oh, what do? You call up a consultant. Mm-hmm. What do you do when the kids are talking in class? And I need classroom management skills. You don't need classroom management skills. You need teaching skills. Because you know kids can't know the attention span of a child. The attention span is 1 minute maximum attention span. This is based on the research, secular research. The maximum attention span is 1 minute for every year they are old. Maxed is out at 18.
Give it the class 4 minutes.
That's Right.
No matter how
right. So if you have a kid, you have kids who are a ninth grader is 15 years old.
There's jokes.
A 15-year-old, the maximum attention span is 15 minutes. Now you have a period that's 40 minutes, and if you're now maximum is 15 minutes. Let's not assume that they're at maximum. Let's assume they're at Bainanim. I'll advise you to Bainanim. So the maximum attention span, let's say, is 8 minutes. Half of that. 8 minutes. 8 minutes are the maximum amount that you could be giving a lesson in. So you have to know that. When you're teaching to us, today is going to be Gevaldik. I'm going to teach you the Ganser Rabbi Chanan. We're doing Mama's Great Rabbi Chanan. You got 8 minutes. But it's 4 hours. How much does it teach from 9:30 to 12:45? I teach 4 hours a day. Because you do it with Chachma, okay? We are doing this Tosfos, the lesson is Tosfos Kasha. Today we're doing Tosfos Kasha. Then you have to do Tosfos Kasha. Then you take not take a break, but have a kid say over Tosfos Kasha. Can you repeat over Tosfos Kasha? Let's put on what, because I want to come up and write on the board Tosfos Kasha. Oh, yes, now, after you do that, now we do another lesson. Now we do Tosfos Teretz. Okay, and since they're really worn out, that took 8 minutes. Now in the next one, they went down. Probably going to get 6 minutes. You do 6 minutes. Okay, and that's how you do it. You do a bunch of different lessons in a day. You can't do one lesson. Okay, I'm teaching you Tosfos, Har Sinai. In camp, I taught in Chevra the summer, and I was totally unprepared for what I ended up. I was totally not expecting that. Okay, and so what I ended up doing, I realized that they had no attention span, zero time. It was summer, and the previous camp I was in, that there was no expectations for them to learn anything. So, and they came late and left early. It was perfect arrangement, and but here they were there for the whole hour. I learned with them for an hour, so I basically did. I prepared 7 different subjects.
Nice. Is that functional?
Totally dysfunctional. Okay, I started with Hilchos Lashon Hara, Halacha Day. Then I started with Piskum of the Day.
Piskum
of the Day. A quote from Pirkei Avos. Okay. A quote, like, Zrizim Makdim the Mitzvahs. And I explained what that meant. And then I did...
How old were these kids?
Old enough to...
How old?
They were 13 years old. 13 years old. 7th graders. They worked. They did 7... Yeah, 11:30. Do we have a minute and a half? So you have to break it down. Small bites. At the end of the day, you can put it together... You go to the base manish, learn some base manish guys. Meister, that's very helpful. They do it at the beginning of the day, so it's like, I would schedule the learning with the base manish at a different time, but it doesn't work out. So, we change it around. But the
was it 2 hours of that?
For them, it's kavaldik because they could do a chana in a real way. They could do chazer in a real way, and they're always current. I used that in previous years. I would come into shir and I'd remind them what masachta we're learning, they're always current, and the guys who are, for anyone here learning with my guys, they are always current, they're always holding on where we're learning. So I have to be holding also, but I can be holding. That, believe me, that's not pushing either, but that they're holding, that's the credit of the base guys. Okay, guys, thank you very much. To be continued.